I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Savior, I come to thee.
Everybody good? Everybody good. Boy, there is a crowd up here today. Bunch of turkeys up here.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning to you.
You want to turn this on for me? It's on. Okay. Good morning.
We're still alive.
I know. We woke up this morning. That's beginning of winter, right? We won.
Well, grateful to be here at Fairlawn, and also to be in West Virginia.
Yeah.
That's our home state. We proudly tell everybody that. And want to hopefully say something this morning in our little bit of time with you that will be meaningful and helpful as we journey together on this trail to heaven. And appreciated last night, there's a ton of work went into yesterday and last night, just a ton of work, and I commend each one. It was a great, very well-planned evening. And Chris, thank you for coordinating with me to be here, and appreciate all the work you did. And I love to hear you talk. When you called the other day, I said, oh, I feel like I'm home now.
I know.
Well, I like to tell stories and songs, so I thought I'd start with a story about one of the favorite sports I did growing up, baseball. Benny and Joe were old friends. They both loved the game of baseball. They filled those seats behind home plate from early spring till late fall. One day Benny's heart got tired. For him, the game of life was over. Joe told him as they said goodbye, "Get us good seats over yonder." Well, the home team was back in town. In the weather, it was sunshine. But Joe couldn't bear that empty seat, and he was on his porch at game time. When all at once in his front yard, there stood his best friend Benny. Joe jumped up and said, "Old buddy, we can catch the last five innings." Well, Benny said, "Joe, I can't stay long. I just came back to tell you there's baseball up in heaven, but that's not all the good news. They got me playing shortstop like I dreamed someday I would be, but I just thought you'd want to know. You'll be pitching Thursday. I just thought you'd want to know, Joe. You'll be pitching Thursday." Well, I can't vouch for the theology in that song, but it makes a good point in that in a group this size, you never know. Come this Thursday, someone here may be called up to the mound, so to speak, and that behooves us to be ready for whenever that call comes. And that's one of the reasons we gather, is to encourage one another to continue in that obedience to Christ and living according to his commands. And we hope we say something that'll help you do that. Last night, I kind of a theme song for us. Just do the chorus of this. Did it last night. Want to sing it once through for you and then have you sing with us, because I have a feeling you'll agree with what these words say. Simply, "I want to finish well.
I want to end this race. Still leaning on his amazing grace. I want my last few miles to testify that God never fails.
I don't want to fall down this close to the line.
I want to finish well."
I want you to sing that with us. You know, the older I get, the more I mean this. I turned 60, and more recently 71. I have a feeling those of you who are on the backside of your time, you want this too. "I want to finish well.
I want to end this race.
Still leaning.
Still leaning on
his amazing grace.
His amazing grace.
Last few miles.
I want my last few miles to testify that God never fails.
I don't want to fall down this close to the line.
I want to finish well."
Again, I know you agree with that, and we want to finish well. And last night I mentioned, as a friend, as a father, as a husband, and as a follower of Christ, and we want to finish well as a couple who have grandchildren and who have friends and church and family. We want to be a light, leave a legacy of love for those that we love, and that's what we want to encourage you to do. Leaving a legacy of love starts with knowing God, who is love. And I know you agree with that. I want to tell you a story about my mom. I was born in Chapmanville, West Virginia, down in Logan County. Last name Chapman, so the roots run deep.
Which, incidentally, 50 miles away from Chapmanville is Williamson, West Virginia, where my maiden name is Williamson. So it goes all the way back, I think, to the Ireland and yeah. Everywhere.
Well, wherever we are, if I meet somebody from West Virginia and Texas, I think, we're probably cousins.
Yeah.
So if we talk long enough, we'll find out.
Yeah, but we will.
But down in Logan, my mom and dad met, and they were carousers. And they loved the bars. They met at the Ritzy Ray there on the road on the way to Logan. And they got married and had a little girl, and then soon was going to have me. But something, mom and dad, their coffers were not full. So mom decided to learn a trade and get a job to help dad with the family funds. And she headed off to Logan to do that. But something happened that changed her life and changed the lives of everyone behind her. And this is her story. This is her testimony. From the last house in the hollow, up on Godby Branch, she walked out that dirt road on her way to take a chance. That night school down in Logan seemed like the only way. They needed more to feed a family than just a taxi driver's pay. Her young husband kept the baby, and she'd be back at 10. But it was quarter past 11 when she came walking in. He said, "How'd things go at class tonight?" She said, "I don't know." Before I made it to the bus stop, Jesus saved my soul. 'Cause I heard singing coming from a church on the hill. Sweetest sound I ever heard, breaking down my will. I could feel it. Spirit calling out to me, now I believe, and that's why I didn't make it down to Logan tonight. He said, "I know you'd make a good nurse, but did you change your mind? And we could really use the money to help us make it through these times. And girl, it just sounds crazy to hear you say you're born again." She said, "If you'll just go there with me, I know you'd understand." Then I heard singing coming from a church on sweetest sound I ever heard, breaking down my will. I could feel it, the Spirit calling out to me, now I believe, and that's why I didn't make it down to Logan tonight. And it was only two nights later, he went with her down that road. And when Mama tells the story now, the part I love the most, I heard singing coming from a church on the hill. Sweetest sound I ever heard, breaking down my will. I could feel it, the Spirit calling out to me now. that's why I didn't make it down to Logan that night. And now I believe, and that's why I didn't make it down to Logan that night. One woman, one decision made all that difference in all those people coming behind her.
And I would encourage you to, hello. Battery?
Yeah.
I would encourage you to document your testimony to your loved ones, to those who are coming behind you and on the trail of time, and let them know about your decision to know Christ. Well, Mom and Dad got saved, and was that in my head? Did y'all hear that? I know that tinnitus thing can get serious, but man, is it working? All right, go ahead and bring a battery there, my friend. Yeah. Tell about that couple you met, because we want to give you some passages that have made a difference in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Before we go there, I wanted to tell you about my dad. My dad was, Steve's mom brought faith into his family, which changed all the generations that came after her. And we're grateful. My dad was a dairy farmer down in Mason County, and his father was an alcoholic. He was raised really rough, wasn't taken care of. His father didn't provide for his family, and beat his wife and children, and was one of those mean drunks. And so when Dad married Mom, they had children. One day Dad told me, he said, "You know, I love the taste of liquor. I love how it makes me feel. I love everything about it." He said, "But I have a choice. My dad chose to feed his addiction. I choose to feed my family." And I'm telling you, that meant the world to me. That meant much more than if Dad would have just said, "That old demon liquor, you know, I hate it." All that. No, he didn't. But he made a choice. And so Steve wrote a song to honor my dad. And this might sound like, maybe it sounds like some of your family as well.
Before the sun came up, Daddy rolled out of bed. He'd go to work, and that's how love was said. He'd spend the money that he made all week to feed a hungry family. That's how love would speak. Oh, love was spoken, though Daddy rarely used the word. Everything he did, love was all we heard. On Saturday morning, when a man ought to rest, Dad would work on the house, and that's how love was said. When Sunday came, we were off to the chapel. Love was spoken so pure and simple. Love was spoken, but Daddy rarely used the word. Love was spoken in everything he did. Love was all we heard. Saying love did not come easy, but we did not criticize.
us if we'd listen with our eyes. Love was spoken, though Daddy rarely used the word.
Bless that man. I miss him. I'm going to see him again someday. Yes, sir. Well, we want to give you, as I mentioned, just two or three passages of Scripture that has helped us leave a legacy of love for our kids and grandkids. And one is we want to talk about how we talk to one another. Tell them about that couple that you met on the airplane.
Yeah, we were singing one weekend, and somehow I was speaking in Phoenix, and Steve was, I think, up in New York, and then we were going to meet in Florida and do, kind of a weekend like this. And so I'm on the plane, and right behind me is this elderly couple. And from Phoenix to Orlando, they didn't have one kind word to say to each other the whole way. They snipped and snapped at each other. It was just awful. I just wanted to turn around and slap them. But people look at you funny when you start hitting old people, so I didn't do that. But I thought, what is Thanksgiving like at their house? What do their grandkids think when they hear them acting like that, being mean to each other? And so I just want to encourage you through this scripture that we believe God can change our hearts and he can change our families. And according to this passage, he can change our future if we control one thing, and that's our words. And in James chapter 3, and you all know this passage, but we just want to share with you as we leave a legacy of love to those around us. James 3, verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. We could talk about that a while, but we won't. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of our life on fire. It is itself set on fire by hell. Did you know that's what is occupying right below your nose? That instrument that can either be used for good or can be used for evil. Set on fire by hell. That is powerful. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brethren, my sisters, these things ought not to be that way. The words we use. Not only the words, according to studies, our words, our communication is only 7% words. Those words are important, but 93% is tone and body language and attitude, but the potential for good and the potential for evil lies in our decisions of what we say and how we say and how we talk to those around us.
I always found it interesting that in that passage, it goes through all that warning about the tongue, and then it says no man can tame the tongue. Well, where's the hope in that? Well, that's the line where there all the hope is, because it leads you to understand only God can help you do this. And our walk with Christ is a duet. We've got to exercise some control. You know, he said to Cain, master it. Sin wants is crouching at your door, master it. Well, God thought Cain was able, because if he hadn't have thought that, he wouldn't have told Cain to master it. We are capable of doing that. But we want to give you a chance to say something nice to one another. If you're sitting there as a couple, and if you're not married, you could practice this, I suppose. But if you'd like to marry the person, they don't know it, you can just go ahead and talk to them, too. But anyway, here's what we're going to do. When you hear me start playing the harp, that's your chance to tell them what they got to do.
We want you to say something nice to one another as a couple. Now, don't say something like, you're not near as mean as you used to be. Don't do that. And you've got a whole verse to think of something that's nice about one another. So really work at it. And then when Steve starts to play that harmonica, then you turn, and nobody can hear you but the two of you. Y'all turn and say something nice to each other. It'll be a good way to start the day.
I love you, oh, I really do. It's just one reason why I married you. But that's not all. There's one more thing that makes me glad to know that you wear my ring. I like you too, I really do. No one else treats me quite as nice as you. In every way, I have to say, you're the dearest friend I ever knew.
Here's your chance. Shame on you all if you're not saying something nice.
This woman standing next to me, 47 years in March. We will celebrate on March 29th, and we still receive wedding gifts if you're interested.
Our wedding gifts are plumb worn out.
Yeah.
you know, I'll just say this real quick. I thought while we were singing that, which is never a good idea to think about something else when you're singing something. But I remember when Nathan was in junior high school, about the eighth grade, and he was having a rough time. You know, that's a mean time of life. You remember junior high? Oh, mean. Everybody's so mean to each other. He was getting bullied, and he was getting tormented, and he came home one day, and he said, "You know, Mom, no matter how bad it gets out there, I know when I come home and I close that door behind me, I know I'm safe." You know, that's what home is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a safe place. And there are those here, you go out into the world and you get chewed up and spit out every day. You get people saying and being mean to you. But when you come home, is that place safe? Are you safe from the verbal barbs and comments and the criticism? Are you safe in your own home? Because you should be. And if you call yourself a Christian and you are not nice to the people in your family, that is not being a good Christ follower. He wants us to be kind and compassionate and loving, especially to those in our family, especially to those people.
And he's right. It's sometimes facial expression and tone of voice, but you can challenge one another and still be nice. Annie, you guys ever heard when you missed a turn and you drove 20 miles out of the way and she says, "You missed the turn, honey." Well, what honey means right there is idiot. And it all depends on how it's said, right?
Yeah, it sounds nicer, though.
Yeah,
it?
You missed the turn, honey. Anyway, I got it. Philippians 2 is another passage that's helped us leave a legacy of love. That's what our goal is.
That's right. So James 3 and Philippians 2. If there therefore is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. Aren't those great words? Encouragement, love, fellowship, affection, compassion. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. All that sounds good. That's all good stuff. But how do you get all that good stuff out of two people who are very flawed, sinful, pig-headed, stubborn, obstinate? Sorry, honey. You know, that's all God has to work with, is people like that. So how do you get all that good out of this? Well, one thing you do is you keep reading. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that scripture goes on to describe a servant's heart. Jesus, the great servant to all. We have a poem in our house that Steve wrote 40 plus years ago. And everywhere we've lived, we framed it and we have it. And it says, "We believe a man and wife would have a better married life if they would try out serving one another. For deeper love is felt when what is done is not for self, but when it's done to satisfy the other." If my main goal, my main concern is that Steve's needs are met and that he is treated right. And if his main concern is that my needs are met and I'm treated right, then you got the fixings for a good life and a godly life, according to Philippians 2, regarding the other's needs as more important than your own.
And what does that look like in everyday life? We saw what it looked like in a neighbor and her husband, who had passed on when we moved in, but she loved to tell us about John. And one day we asked, what's your favorite memory about John, Mary? And she, first thing out of her mouth, without hesitating, she said, well, he used to ask this two-word question. And it told me he was thinking about me and what I like to do. Mary said, there's a lot of things I've missed about John. In these 15 years since he's been gone, Lord knows it's a mighty long list. If I had to choose just one, he used to ask a question, and sometimes I hear it when I'm all alone. He'd say, what if we go out to dinner tonight? What if we take a walk in the full moonlight? Or what if we go take in a movie, just me and my best friend? Oh, how I wish I could what if with John one more time again. She said, it's funny how a question can hold so many answers, more than I'd ever need. I never had to wonder, never had to ask, did he care about me? I feel sad for the women who've never known a man who understood like mine. That love is a diamond. If you're gonna have it, you gotta spend some time. He'd say, what if we go out to dinner tonight? What if we take a walk in the full moonlight? Or what if we take a ride on the Harley, just you and me in the wind? Oh, how I wish I could what if with John one more time again. Take a walk in the full moonlight. Or what if we go look at antiques, just wanna be with my best friend? Oh, how I wish I could what if with John one more time again. Oh, how I wish could what if with John one more time again. Well, guys, I want you to lean over and whisper into your wife's ear and say, what if we get that Ranger bass boat you've always wanted? Yeah, seize the moment, fellas. Or you could say, what if we build that sunroom you've always wanted?
There you go.
You know, take your pick. But, well, my dad, he left a legacy of love. And Mom said something about him at their 50th anniversary. I'll just sing a verse and a chorus of this just to let you guys give you the same goal that I have. That is to hear what your wife say, what my mom said about Dad. If I hear Annie say this about me, I will have done well. Mama stood up at the party. She said, 50 years ago, married me this mighty fine man, and I want everybody to know. Then she smiled and raised her glass and said as she looked at him, when it comes to great lovers, he's a has-been.
has been faithful. He has been true. Whatever I wanted, He always came through. When I needed a lover, when I needed a friend, through all these years, that's what He has been.
Miss Dad, he passed away in 2015, and Mom last June went to see him, her best friend here on earth. Dad loved gospel music, and he wrote some, and actually a group recorded one of his songs, but the one that people requested the most was this one. He'd go to a sing, and somebody said, "Preacher Chapman, sing this one. Sing that song." All right. When you get to heaven, you will likely view many smiling faces that will be a shock to you. But be very quiet, don't you even stare, 'cause they'll be just as shocked when they see you there. Amen, amen. Yeah, of all the stuff he did, they wanted to hear that one most. Anyway, and he wrote, "It's looking up time, your redemption draweth nigh. It's looking up time, keep your eyes on the sky. He's coming that way, it may be today. Oh children, it's looking up time." He wrote that probably in the 70s, and it's more timely now than ever. And I'm convinced that, talking about looking up, you know, the scripture says, lift up your head and look up. Did you ever notice that? It's a two-step process. Lift up your head and look up. I believe that was written for now. In order to look up, you've got to lift your head and then look up. If ever it was written for a time, it's now. But I held my dad as he passed. I'd never been in that situation before, and it was my dad. And as I realized what was happening, I thought, well, what do I say? Can I say something to him? And I searched my mind quickly for something to say, and all I could think to say was, "Dad, going home. They're waiting for you." And of course, I was referring to his parents, sweet mom, Grandpa and Grandma Chapman, and his brothers and sisters who had passed on, and the people he had pastored through the years. And that's all I could think to say. That was my last exchange with him. I shared that at a church in Georgia. We were singing a Sunday morning, and a lady came to me afterwards and said, "I appreciated your report about your last exchange with your father, your last words with him." She said, "Could I tell you about my last exchange with my dad?" And we stood there in the aisle, and she told me, when she finished, I said, "Jonelle," her name was Jonelle, I said, "Miss Jonelle, do you mind if I tell people what in a song what you just told me?" She said, "Sure." And I want to share this with you in light of leaving a legacy of love, because sometimes that means having a forgiving heart. Colossians 3 is the final passage we want to share with you. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Boy, do you need that in a family, especially with kids. Patience. "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." There may be someone here who, I know the situations are immense and deep and complicated, but maybe this song, this Jonelle story, will help you be inspired to initiate an act of forgiveness, either for what was done or for what was done to you. He came down to his final day. Something on his heart he had to say to his daughter from the heart of a father. He took her hand, couldn't stop the tears, and said, I let you down through the years. Wish I could do it over. I'd do it better. Lord knows I'd do it better. She stood by his bed and they both cried. She wiped the tears from his eyes and said, I understand. You've done the best you can. But would it help if I reminded you about the teenage hell I put you through, oh daddy? Here's what we ought to do. Let's call it even. We both had a bad run. Let's talk about the good times. We can say we both won. On the other side of heaven's door, you won't find love keeping the score. We're forgiven. Let's call it even. He said, I guess it's true what they say. A little child will lead the way, my sweet baby. What a gift you just gave me. Now I can leave this world feeling free. Nothing between you and me, no regrets. Oh, that's God's mercy. So let's call it even. We both had a bad run. Let's talk about the good times. We can say we both won. On the other side of heaven's door, we won't find love keeping the score. We're forgiven. Ooh, forgiven. On the other side of heaven's door, you won't find love keeping the score. We're forgiven. By his grace, forgiven. Let's call it even. Let's call it even.
Forgiveness. If you've received it, you know how precious it is. It's hard to give it, but it's so sweet to receive it. And so, friend, I'll just briefly tell you this. He had a dream. He had gone through a terrible divorce about 30 years ago. And bad blood. Just, they were both really involved in the church, both pillars in the church. And then he messed up. He had an affair. And anyway, you know, you can fill in the blanks. You know how it goes. But they had not had anything to do with each other. They just really not had been kind to each other through those years. And one night he said he had a dream, and in the dream he died. He dreamed that he died, and when he went and was standing before the gates to go into heaven, his ex-wife walked up at the same time. So they're both standing there, and in his dream he said Jesus opened the door and looked at them, the two of them, and said, "You're not bringing that in here." And in his dream, Jesus said, "You got 15 minutes. Work it out, or I'm closing the door." Now, he woke up. Of course, that would wake you up. Pretty scary. He said he laid there, and he couldn't wait till daylight. And when daylight came, he got in his car, and he went to his ex-wife's house. And he asked her to forgive him. And I don't know if she indicated that she would or not, but it wasn't long after that, found out that she was dying. She was in hospice. She couldn't really respond. And he said he went to her one last time. And he said, I have to know that you forgive me. And she couldn't talk. But he said, if you forgive me, blink. And she blinked. You know, we all have bad things happen. She probably had lots of reasons to be mad at him through those years. But when it comes time, none of us get to take our grudges with us to the other side. You know that. Eventually, you will lay down that offense. What you're mad at so-and-so about, or that grudge, that you will lay it down eventually. The only shame of carrying a grudge for 30 years is to carry a grudge 30 years in a day. We have been forgiven, and he says we are to forgive others. A legacy of love. It came late, but it came for them. Well, as we want to end with one song. We had some friends who their kids were in between houses. They had to get out of their house before their new house was ready. For about 6 weeks, that couple and their three kids moved in with friends of ours. And she told me that they had enjoyed their son's family about as much as she could stand it. And we were going to be gone one weekend, kind of like, you know, a long weekend like this. And so I told her, I said, listen, let's give everybody a break. You all come and stay at our house. And let your kids have a weekend, you know, by themselves. And you'll just come stay at our house. So they did. And they got there right before we were leaving. And as we were leaving them in the house, I did what you all have said to people, that you didn't mean it either. I said, now you all just make yourself at home. And as we drove away, I thought, really? Really? Do we really want them to make themselves at home? When someone comes to your, do you really want them going through your medicine chest? Do you really want them going up into the top shelf of that closet? Or into the back of the pantry? Or outside under the truck seat? Do you really want people getting in your stuff? Or do you want them to be a good guest and keep within their boundaries and leave your stuff alone? That's really what we want, isn't it? Well, when we invite Jesus into our hearts, as it says in Ephesians, he wants to come and make himself at home in our hearts. He is not satisfied to be a guest. He wants to take up residence and make himself at home. Now, what does that entail? Well, it might entail him looking in some places that we'd just soon he not do. Go some places we'd just soon he not go. But that's not the way it works. Just like a surgeon slices that person open, not because they're mad at the patient, but because there's something in there that's killing them. Jesus wants us to open our hearts so he can take out of our hearts and out of our lives the things that are hurting us, the things that keep us back from being who he intends us to be. My heart is like a house. One day I let the Savior in. There are many rooms where he would visit now and then. Saw that door, I knew the day had come too soon. I said, Jesus, I'm not ready for us to visit in that room. 'Cause that's a place in my heart where even I don't go. I have some things in there. Tears of love on his face. Let me go in your secret place. So I opened up the door, and as the two of us walked in, I was so ashamed. His light revealed my hidden sin. Think about that room now. I'm not afraid anymore, 'cause I know my hidden sin no longer hides behind that door. That was a place in my heart where even I wouldn't go. I had some things hidden there I didn't want no one to know. But he handed me the key with tears of love on his face. He made me clean. I let him in my secret place. Is there a place in your heart where
pray with you. Father, thank you for these few moments in all of time and space, such small moments that we've had with these your people. I ask you to seal the things that were said from your heart in these hearts, and give water them with your spirit and these good seeds, and I ask you to give fruit to them. And I pray for Fairlawn, that every member and all the staff and the young people, every member, I pray that you would go with them mightily today and give them courage to let you look into their hearts so that we can be free of these things that easily beset us, so that we can leave a legacy of love for those who come behind us in time. I ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thought about looking this scripture up, but here it is. As we were ending, you know, we talked a lot about couples and our relationships with each other, and the way that we can leave that legacy behind. And listen, don't think about just leaving it behind for your children. Think about it, leaving it behind for the younger ones here at the church, and the way that we operate as couples and the way that we bring things together. We're living in front of others and setting that example. But we not only do it as married couples, we do it within the family of God as well. And I sat there and I thought, as you all were talking about how our relationship with couples are important, it is also important within our relationship with each other within the church. And if we can demonstrate the sort of love that he is talking about, you think about the love that you have for your spouse. When you all were doing that one song, most of y'all know that my wife Julie is staying with an elderly gentleman that is a member of the church here, and he's not been with us for a while. So I don't get to be here with Julie, but while you all were singing that one song, I texted her. I said, I love you. She is who God has sent to partner along with me. She had neither one of us had any idea what God was going to do with us, and here we are. You know, but he has partnered me with somebody that I know that prays for me and that forgives me when I mess up, because believe me, I can do it royal. And if y'all haven't experienced it yet, just give me time. I'll do it to you. But here's the deal. when I do that to you, if I mess up with you, you know what? We need to have the same forgiveness for each other that we have for our spouses. And we need to look at it that way. Because, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you all has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Folks, we are here for a purpose, and God has called us, just like He has brought Julie and I together as a couple, He has brought us together as a church to accomplish great things. What are we letting Satan put in the way of that? Forgive each other. Let the grievances go away. And forgive each other, because God's got something amazing. And we're praying for the man that's going to fill this chair with, hopefully within the very near future. And we need to be united. We need to get rid of the little grievances and the big grievances, because all of it in God's eyes, you got 15 minutes to get this taken care of. What's in your way? What is in your way of God using you mightily? Guys, thank you so much. Whew. I get emotional just thinking about it. God's got some amazing things in store for us. We've got to get ourselves put aside and see what God has in front of us, because it's going to be amazing. This is our invitation, all right? Folks, if God has spoken to you, if the Spirit has spoken to you today, please obey what He is asking you to do. If you need to come down and you need to lay something aside so that you can do what God is calling you to do, then you need to come down here and lay it aside and let God take care of it and let Him work in you. If you need to accept Christ, if you've never accepted that gift, today is the day that you can do that. If He's calling you to join us as a body of believers here at Fairlawn Baptist Church, we would love to have you coming here and walking alongside with us, because God's got some great things for us, and He's got it all planned out. I believe that wholeheartedly. But we've got to come together. And we've got to work together. And God's got that in mind for us to do. Folks, we constantly come over to where God's got something, and then we let something get in the way of that. Folks, let's put it aside. Let's get rid of it. God wants to do something here. Are we going to be the ones to keep it from happening? I'm going to pray real quick. Bob, brother, if y'all need to pray with Bob, Bob Hall is Deacon of the Week. I'm going to ask Bob to come down here as we have this time of invitation. Once again, if you need to pray, the altar is open. Folks, God has moved this morning. Amen. Amen. And I'll pray, and then we'll go into our invitation. All right, Father, we just thank you so much for today. Father, I thank you for your message. Thank you for Steve and Annie, that you have brought them our way today, Father, to speak to us where we are. And you know exactly where we are. There is nothing hidden from you. The analogy of the rooms that we try to block off, Father, you know exactly what are in those rooms. And Father, we need to recognize what is in those rooms so that we can start cleaning them out.
And Father, allow you full access to our lives so that we can be better witnesses and servants for you. Father, I pray as they have shared with us today, Father, that if you have brought us to the point where we need to lay those things aside, that Father, today would be the day that we could do that. And Father, just be better instruments for you to use us. Father, I pray for the one that's here this morning, whether they're here or online, that have never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would do that. And Father, that they could start living a life for you and realize what true love is all about. Father, I pray for those that have maybe walked away from you or for some reason aren't as close. And Lord, that today would be the day that they would do that as well, that they would turn back to you. And Father, just realize the love that you have for them still. Father, for those that need to just come down and pray and just let your Spirit take over. And Father, once again, just be better instruments for you. I just pray that that would happen today as well. Father, most of all, that we would just be open and willing to do what you're calling us to do this morning. I ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you would stand with me as we sing our invitation this morning.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
this week. Annie, Steve, thank you guys so much.
We're trading. That sucker's not working.
Okay. You hear me? Thank you guys so much. It's like a visit from family, and I'm sure there's people all over the country that feel the same.
Feel the same way. Anyway, I meant to say we're really glad to see you guys. All right. I'll stop. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.